Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. And boy, I love saying that we're live from Renaissance Bank. That means we're out and about and hopefully getting back to whatever this version of normal is on the other side of the pandemic. Folks, in the meantime, if you are having a trouble with your bank, if your bank is acting like a big bank, because they are a big bank, and they've got all those computer-generated voices and 1-800 numbers, and they've set up every way possible to keep you from talking to a live person, then here's my suggestion. Go to renaissancebank.com, find their local office, about 200 or so around the South ready to serve you, and give them a call. Just pick an office, give them a call, and what you'll find is a live person answers the phone, or sometimes it goes to a live person's voicemail, but you'll actually know who to be in touch with at that local office, and you can go in and sit across the desk from them, talk about the needs of your small, medium-sized business, and I think you'll be glad you did. I know that I have been very pleased with the work that they do. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Lauren Fernandez. Lauren is, well, she is Talkback Barbie. Right, Lauren?
That's right.
Awesome. It's great to have you with us. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into why I say that. Lauren Fernandez, Talkback Barbie. You're the author of Talkback Barbie.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. I just wrote my book and it came out at the end of January of this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just tell us in a few words what your book's about.
So Talkback Barbie is about a sassy, ambitious, southern blonde debutante who just has a mouth on fire and she can't keep her mouth shut. So she creates a lot of chaos and mayhem at the White House and actually becomes a White House legend. And her nickname there is Talkback Barbie.
And this is not a fiction book. Let's just make that
so
clear.
So it's not exactly a memoir, but it is a it is based on true events, is what I like to tell people.
Okay.
I've beefed it up a little bit for the reader's enjoyment, but, you know, because it's made to make people laugh. But, you know, it's based on true stories and like my life at the White House when I was working for the Secret Service.
Okay. Now, we'll get into why you chose that career path in a minute, but why did you write the book? What inspired you to do that?
Well, my dad, first of all, really inspired me to write the book. About 5 years ago, he was pressing me to write a book. And I laughed in his face and I literally was like, Dad, I'm never going to write a book. That is something that is really hard to do. And that's not something I'm going to be able to do. However, about last year, I think it was around New Year's, we were down in Naples, Florida with my family. And I just realized, like, I have a lot of great stories to tell people and they're funny. And I have a diverse resume and a diverse background. And I just started writing and I started writing and writing and discovered that I had a lot more to say than I thought. I didn't think I remembered all these stories from, you know, back in 2005, 2006. But I did, and they just kept coming back to me. And so I wrote it and hired a professional editor who came in and helped me edit it a little bit. And then I self-published it. So I think the inspiration really was my diverse resume. And I felt like I had a lot to tell people about the Secret Service, but especially coming from a woman in a male-dominated environment, that was something that was really important to me to share what obstacles I personally had to overcome, but what obstacles women in general have to overcome when they're in a male-dominated environment.
Sure.
But also adding a lot of laughter to it. My husband was very cautious and was like, are you sure you want to publish this book? Like, you're going to put this out there and everyone's going to know stories that you did and mistakes that you made. And I was like, yes, I do, because I feel like I wanted people to learn through my mistakes, my failures, but also realize that you can overcome those. And there's a positive outlook and outcome to everything. And so if people can laugh with me or at me at the book, I'm happy. So awesome. That's what motivated me to write it.
Awesome. And shout out to Dad, Roger Lesby.
Yes.
Frazier and Dieter, local office of Frazier and Dieter here in Alpharetta. So, hey, Roger. Let's talk about your, let's set up the story. So, you graduated from college. You decided along the way you wanted to become a member of the Secret Service or an officer in the Secret Service, what have you.
Yes.
Talk about that journey.
So, I graduated from Virginia Tech. And I wanted to be an FBI agent since I was age 10. So my dad quizzed me all the time. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? And I decided I wanted something exciting. And so the world of law enforcement is what excited me. So I read books, I watched shows, movies, everything you could think about, and studied what it took to be an FBI agent. Mm. And I discovered I was too young and inexperienced to go into the FBI. So I had to do something, a gateway into the FBI, basically. And the Secret Service and the NSA, the National Security Agency, were the only two that accepted students right out of college with no experience, really. I mean, obviously internships and stuff like that, but right out of college. So I applied to both. I applied to the Secret Service and the NSA, and ended, obviously it got into the Secret Service, and I had to pass 6 months of federal law enforcement training before I was accepted. So if you didn't graduate, you could fail and you would not be a Secret Service officer. So I successfully passed all that, and that's how I became a Secret Service.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what were the, what advice would you give to someone who is thinking about a career like that? And you know, there's this, what you kind of grow up in thinking, hey, I want to have an exciting career, but then there's the reality of it, right? What advice would you give to someone that wants to go in that line of work?
So I love to tell people, first read the book, because you will find out so much about law enforcement, but the side of it that nobody sees. So you have all these TV shows that are full of excitement. You see all these movies about Secret Service, FBI, police officers, all this excitement, but there's a whole different side to it. And there is, you know, paperwork, boredom, actually getting through training and running and, you know, pull-ups and push-ups. It's very strenuous. It's, you can't really have strong emotional side to you. I mean, you've got to be very hard and able to handle a lot of things that maybe make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I just think that a lot of people, a very clean background will help you a lot. But physical fitness is the biggest one. Being physically fit and taking care of yourself is probably going to be the biggest takeaway, is that if you can't accomplish the physical fitness aspect of it, you won't make it through training. And it's grueling. I mean, just reloading and loading your gun over and over till you literally have like bleeding blisters on your hands, and calluses and everything else. So there's a lot of, mental things you have to get through to actually accomplish and become either a federal officer or a local police officer. It's a lot of mental more than anything. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So Talk Back Barbie, the title of the book. Let's tell everybody, they may have guessed, but let's tell everybody how you came up with that title.
Well, if you can't tell, I like to talk. I like to talk a lot. My family tells me to shut up pretty much every day, and they tell me I talk too loud. But the title of the book was my nickname in the Secret Service. Mm. That is what they called me in the Secret Service. There was an incident during training where I talked back to the mean technician who had it out for me from the very beginning when I entered training. He did not like me. He wanted me to fail. He did not think I was cut out to be a Secret Service officer. And because of him, I got the name Talk Back Barbie. So we had a scenario that we were working out, and he asked me a question about something I was wearing, and I questioned him. And even though I was correct in what I said, he did not like that. I mean, it's a military environment. So it is yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And that's it. you don't ask questions. But I'm the type of person who I don't follow orders very well. And I question things if I don't think that they are legit. And so that's exactly what I did. And he was screaming at me so loud that the guys at another scenario up probably half a mile away heard them.
Oh, wow.
Heard him screaming at me. So anyway, after that, I got the nickname Talkback Barbie, and it stuck because even at the White House, you know, I questioned things and got in trouble and wrote a lot of memos, and they know me to this day as Talkback Barbie. So.
Oh, wow. So was that just your nickname, or, I mean, we hear of, you know, presidents and first ladies and, you know, the kind of folks that the Secret Service protects.
Mm-hmm. Right. They like get, a code
they,
name.
Yeah, they get yes. code names. So does everyone get a code name in the Secret Service, or were you unique?
I was unique. I was the only one. Only the presidents and their first ladies, they get the code names. Not me. I got this just because of who I am as a person, obviously. And if you read the very first chapter of the book, you'll find out that when I went and did a walkthrough, figuring out where I was going to go my first day at the White House, I went up to the front gate and introduced myself, and I was like, so excited. And I go, I'm going to start working here at the White House tomorrow. I'm class 177. And she goes, what's your name? And I was like, Lauren Lesby. And she looked at me and started laughing, literally burst out laughing. And she goes, I know exactly who you are. She goes, you're Talkback Barbie. And she didn't know my name. Uh-huh. She didn't know it. She just knew me as Talkback Barbie, who was coming from training, and I was going to come to the White House, and she could not believe it.
So, your reputation preceded
it,
you.
It did. It did. And uh-huh. it was funny. I was young. I was inexperienced. This is my first career out of college.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, imagine, you know, and I had never done karate. I'd never done any type of fighting. I mean, here I am in this environment that's completely new to me. And so I made a lot of mistakes, but I learned from them, and I just learned to laugh at myself. And I got picked on a ton because I was very naive and gullible.
So you're in your early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into the White House, your first job.
Yeah.
That's got to be intimidating. I mean, how do you maintain some, I guess, control about that, right? Because that can be overwhelming.
It was. I was really, it almost felt surreal. It felt like it wasn't real. I felt like I was in a movie, I guess. And I was on cloud nine.
Mm.
I thought I was the coolest person in the world because, you know, there's no guns and knives and stuff in DC. And here I am allowed to carry a gun on the metro to and from work. I mean, mm-hmm. you had a badge. I mean, you just felt like you were, you know, a god almost.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty incredible. And it was a really cool feeling. And you felt really accomplished. You felt like you really did something that not many people could ever say they did. And especially working right next to the president of the United States. I mean, mm-hmm. that was the coolest takeaway that I could ever have experienced. So to say I worked by, you know, President Bush.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. So you, I mean, let's be clear. So Talkback Barbie is a fun name, but there was an edge to it, shall we say,
mm-hmm. there was.
That was deliberate. Mm-hmm. You're blonde and you're female.
That's right.
And so that wasn't necessarily meant to be complimentary.
No, I had a lot of backhanded compliments when I was working the Secret Service.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that happened that I literally was like, thank you so much. And people are looking at me like, why are you thanking them? That was like a slap in the face, mm-hmm. you know? And I go, because, I mean, that's the best I'm going to get. And I'm going to take everything and I'm going to use it positively. Mm. And that's kind of my outlook in the book as well. Like, I want to be very positive. When people are cutting you down, discriminating against you, giving you nicknames like Talkback Barbie, if you just twist things and figure it out and spin it into a positive light, honestly, you can turn anything into something really good.
Mm.
And that's what the book really shows, is that regardless of what happened to me or how I was cut down or put in situations that were probably a little bit unethical,
mm-hmm.
I always looked at it with positive outlook. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to prove myself regardless of what they throw at me, regardless of what they do. I am going to show them that even if I am a Barbie doll, I can accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter that I might be a petite female, blonde, debutante from Atlanta, Georgia. I am going to show them that I can do it. And that's really what the biggest takeaway of all, I feel like, is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, suffice to say, it's a male-oriented culture,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I guess talk about what the you mentioned some of it, but talk about the lessons to that and speak to, you know, women that are particularly those that are coming out of college and entering a male-oriented culture, which is a big part of the world, let's just face it. Talk about how they navigate that.
Of course. It's hard. I mean, I had to change, I feel like, who I was. I had to be a tougher, thicker-skinned human being. I was always tough because of the way my parents raised me anyway. I have my sister and myself, and we were raised like boys. My dad wanted two sons and he got two daughters. And he said, well, if God's going to give me two daughters, I'm going to raise them like boys, because I wanted boys. and so he did. He raised us like boys. We were tough. We did sports. We were athletic, all this kind of stuff. But even though we were raised like that, the environment that we were in was just, you know, they look down on you a little bit because you are a female. So you have to prove yourself even more than a male would. So, you know, they're running and they're doing all this stuff. And they're like, oh, great job, great job. And you feel like you have to be bigger and better than they are. You've got to really do even more and show them more because you're a female. And I love working with men, to be honest with you. I thrive in male dominated environments. I like the fact that it changed me and made me tougher. I had to handle a lot of things that I think people would be very uncomfortable with. They probably would call it sexual harassment in the workplace half the time, but you just had to deal with it. I was one of the boys and I had to learn how to become one of the boys. I had to be that person that they could talk to and say anything in front of. But the book will shed light on all of that. It'll show you what I did. My class was amazing. They supported me. They were there for me. They made fun of me. But at the same time, I did feel like with them, I was one of the boys. But you have to change that mentality. You can't go in thinking that you're going to be this and that and the other. You've got to kind of like blend and mold yourself when you're in a male dominated environment. I have some girlfriends who work in male dominated environments and they tried to be one of the boys. And for them, it backfired. They actually were getting discriminated against more by trying to be one of the boys. They were better off just being themselves. Whereas me, I did better. And I don't know if it's just maybe the way I look, the way I act, maybe because I am naive and I was just able to hang and they just were able to make fun of me because they're like, you don't even know what I'm talking about, Lauren. Maybe it was that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when I became one of the guys, I was more accepted. They were kind of like my big brothers and they protected me. So it does change you and you do have to adapt to that kind of environment. There's no doubt about it.
Folks, we're here speaking with Talkback Barbie, AKA Lauren Fernandez. She's the author of Talkback Barbie. So Lauren, I would love it if you would share maybe a story or two from the book that you think really captures the spirit of what you wrote.
Oh gosh. The whole book captures the spirit. I talked all about, you know, all my training that I went through. I talk about going through, you know, school, and I graduated from Virginia Tech, like I said before. And that was very difficult for me because I could not decide on a major. And I know a lot of students have a really hard time with that going into college. And of course, I tried all the majors because I wanted to go into the FBI. So I wanted a specialized major. So I talk about going through college and the stuff I did there. And then I worked at the Gwinnett County Police Department and District Attorney's Office as my internships while I was in college. And that got me all to the Secret Service, obviously. But some of the things, the Secret Service, there's a story at the White House that I love. And I think this is the one that captures really Talkback Barbie. So I'm working a footbeat outside the White House, and an Asian guy comes up and he starts taking pictures of me. And I'm just, you know, I'm looking at him. I'm getting frustrated because I'm like, stop taking my picture. And so I go up to him very sternly and I'm like, sir, you're not allowed to take pictures of Secret Service officers. I need you to step back. And he's like, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. He goes, I thought you were an actress. And I was like, what? So I had to keep the stern, serious face. And I was like, an actress? He goes, oh yeah, I thought you were in a movie. And I was like, I'm not an actress. I go, this is a real gun. I am a real Secret Service police officer or uniform division officer.
Right.
I said, you need to step back. You're not allowed to take pictures. I am real. I go, if you do not leave right now, I'm going to have to arrest you. And he's like, and he scurries away and he had to leave. And then the next day I'm working at scanning bags and stuff into the Treasury building. And this lady starts talking to me and she's literally like, how old are you? And I was like, 23. And she looks at me and starts laughing. And she goes, I thought you were 16 years old. She goes, you look like a little baby, you know, like a child. And I start laughing and I'm just like, how am I ever going to be taken serious in the Secret Service when I am a 16-year-old actress who is playing the role of a Secret Service officer? But that's the feeling I got. I started doubting myself a little bit and being like, is this really for me? People don't take me seriously. And I'm in a uniform with a badge and a gun in DC outside the White House. And people still do not think I'm a Secret Service officer. So that just sheds some light on the funny stories and the crazy encounters that I had while I was working there. But it was an experience of a lifetime. And that's why I decided to write about it. I thought it would just be a great, you know, story and very funny.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the common thread among those two stories is two different people, very different people, made judgments about you before you even opened your mouth, right? I mean,
that's correct.
Yeah, they judged you based on your appearance. And I think part of what your message is based on what comes out of your mouth after that, you can control the narrative, right?
That's exactly right. And it depends on how I feel that day.
Yeah.
Maybe the narrative will be really good or maybe it'll be really bad. It just depends on what mood I'm in.
Right.
But no, you're exactly right. Two completely different people. I mean, I had a woman working at the Treasury building and I had an Asian tourist touring DC, and they both like immediately judged the book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we do that a lot in this world. And I think my biggest takeaway is just, you know, give people a chance. Maybe before you start judging them, give them a chance to talk. And if I misspeak, okay, then you can totally judge me. Then maybe I am Talkback Barbie.
Right.
But then maybe I speak very eloquently when you talk to me this day, or I'm very kind, or maybe I'm really mean. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, judging a book by its cover makes it very hard. But that's exactly what happened when I went into training. Mm-hmm. The technician I was training with, he judged the book by its cover and he looked at me. I did not even speak yet when I entered into Secret Service training. And he looked at me when I carried in my pink Vera Bradley bags to training. And he literally was like, you're not going to pass training. You're not cut out to be a Secret Service officer. Mm. Before I had even shown him anything I could do or couldn't do.
Right.
He had already been like, I'm going to get you kicked out. So
I think that this is common for particularly women to deal with. I mean, how do you maintain that inner sense of strength and confidence to just bear through that? Even after you made it,
right,
you were having to deal with that. So, I mean, how do you maintain that core strength?
I think looking back, and that's another reason I wrote the book, I feel like those experiences and then writing the book and being able to laugh at those experiences and take the good from what happened out of that has helped me the most, to be honest with you. That has been very, very important for me. But honestly, I think I've always had a strength. Even in high school, I would stand up to things. I'm very good at controlling my emotions. If I thought it was wrong, I mean, I would speak up about it. And so I've always had that strength, but every situation I went through and every obstacle I had to overcome, it kept making me stronger and stronger. So everything that I dealt with, it's like, I just kept getting stronger. And I think that now, you know, here I am in, you know, almost 40, and I'm in this world of, you know, you're just not going to take any crap anymore, basically. And you're like, I'm going to prove to you who I am and what I can do. And I'm not going to let you judge the book by its cover. Mm. And so I think everything has just made me stronger and stronger and stronger, and more independent. And I think my willpower as well. And just by the grace of God, just giving me the ability to be strong. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard, but you can do it. I promise. Anybody can do it.
Lauren Fernandez is with us, folks. She is the author of Talk Back Barbie, and it's a account of her experience as a Secret Service officer.
Yeah, Uniform Division Officer.
Uniform Division Officer. Okay. Okay. Awesome. So let's talk about what your life is like now. I mean, you, and I guess maybe before you get to that, I mean, why did you decide to leave the Secret Service?
Yeah. And everyone always asks me that. And honestly, it was boredom. I am super hyperactive. I have way too much energy. I am not good at sitting still. And I was bored. The shift work, the mundane tasks, I was exhausted and worn out. I couldn't keep it. I was newly married. So being the shift work, not being home for the holidays, not being able to do things with friends and family, and I was in my 20s. So you want to still live life a little bit. And that was very difficult for me. Right. So I quit and I resigned and then took a job with a law firm right after. And I think that was my biggest mistake. I should have stayed in the Secret Service longer and gotten into government consulting right away. I think my mistake was jumping into a career so quickly to just get out of the boredom and have something to do and have consistent, regular business hours that I made the mistake of jumping too fast. Mm-hmm. I didn't take the time to sit down and think it through. So mm-hmm. I think that was something when I look back when I was writing the book that I should have done differently.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Talk about what you're up to now and kind of what the future is for Lauren.
Of course. So right now I work part-time for a company called JRL Coal. It's an energy company. We also mine coal. We have a coal company up in Harlan, Kentucky. So it is fascinating work. I'm an executive assistant. I work part-time so that I can stay at home, well, be there for my son. So he's in school right now at Fellowship Christian School, and we absolutely love it there. And I volunteer a lot. I volunteer at my son's school. I also play tennis. My girls, we just won city finals. We were the city champions yesterday.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yes. So we were so excited about that. And we got the big plate, 50th anniversary big plate.
Awesome.
So I play tennis in all my spare time. I run a book club. And I'm part of a Milton Wine Club as well that we just get together, the girls do. So I'm busy. I'm constantly networking and out there doing stuff. And right now I've been extremely busy doing tons of podcasts, radio shows, mm-hmm. and promoting my book.
Yeah, so. For sure. So is another book in your future?
I think it's going to have to be. This was a one and done deal. I wrote this, I was done. I was going to just promote it. I want to turn it into a Netflix series or Amazon Prime series. Mm-hmm. I think it would be an amazing TV show. No. I've talked to a lot of producers and production companies. It's hard to get that route, but you know, it could be 10 years from now. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
But I think there's going to be another book. I think I'm kind of getting some ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm talking them over, thinking about it. And I'll probably work with the same editor that I worked with on this one. And we'll kind of work together and see what we can pull out of our hat.
Awesome. Lauren Fernandez, folks. She's the author of Talk Back Barbie. So this has been great, Lauren. A lot of fun.
It has been. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Let's talk, get to the most important question, which is how folks can find the book, how they can buy it, and how they can connect with you.
Of course. Everything you want to know about me is on my website, www.talkbackbarbie.com. You can, that's where all my social media is, all my past podcasts, radio shows. You can also purchase the book there. But if you would like the Kindle edition, you can go to Amazon and get that. And I'm hoping to get the paperback on Amazon soon. So hopefully in the next month or so, I would have the paperback on Amazon as well as my website.
Awesome. Oren Fernandez, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, if you have got administrative tasks that are that they're really pulling down your business, that as a small, medium-sized business owner, you should not be involved in, maybe it's bookkeeping, maybe it's social media, who knows? But you really need to be involved in building the business as opposed to doing a lot of these tasks. And if you're, if that description fits you, maybe you need to be in touch with Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. Essie has been around for 21 years in her firm, and she's got a whole team of angels that she picks the best one that is suited for your need, and they fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on an ongoing or as-needed basis, and they do it virtually, so a pandemic does not scare them in any way. And so here's what my suggestion is. You can go to the website, of course, officeangels.us, or better yet, just give her a call, 770-442-9246. Tell her I sent you, and tell her what your problem is, and she'll come up with a great solution for you, I'm sure. I know that firsthand because she's done it for me and supports my business with her and her team support my business in a way that I couldn't do without them. So thank you, Essie, and let her know that I sent you. Folks, North Fulton Business Radio can be found on all the major podcast apps. North Fulton Business Radio is a search term. Here's my bold request, is go to your favorite podcast app and subscribe if you haven't already, but give us a 5-star review. It's not about me, not about Business Radio X. It's about our guests, like Oren. We want people to find the show so that they can connect with use the product services, or in Lauren's case, read Lauren's book. But we want our guests to be found. And if you can rate and review the show and review us highly, you're doing a favor for our guests. So we'd appreciate that if you would do that. You can also connect with us on social media. North Fulton BRX is the search term on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So for my guest, Oren Fernandez, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.